We want to thank ATI Physical Therapy for helping us power these episodes that were recorded at CSM this year. Have you ever thought about where your career in physical therapy could take you? It's not just about the job, it's about making real connections that help patients get better faster. Imagine working somewhere you can grow through mentorship and get leadership training that matters. Sounds like a place you'd fit right in? Find out more at atipt.com.
Barb, welcome.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired, but I'm good. I'm really good.
Someone walked by the other day, James Spencer. He's from orthopedics. And he goes, how you doing, man? And I said, you know, I'm a little tired. And he goes, I've known you for a long time. It's the first time I've ever heard you say that. And I was like, yeah, I don't know what it is.
CSM will do it to you. There's just so many things to do and so many people to connect with. Like, I'm seeing former students and former colleagues and all this stuff. And then speaking a little bit and working for stuff that I'm doing in the background, which is editing and all that kind of stuff. It's been busy.
I heard someone say, I thought winning an award was the most rewarding thing that you could do. And then I had a student win an award.
It's so cool.
It's like award squared.
It is. It's so gratifying. It's really cool. Yeah. I had a lot of that. Not this year, but other years at the sports section, having people win awards. It's been fun.
I wanted to twist something a little bit.
Okay,
we're at a physical therapy conference.
Okay.
But I wanted to ask about some people. Mm-hmm. Some people are both.
Okay.
I want to ask about athletic trainers.
I love them. I was one. I retired as one.
Oh, did
I was
you?
One.
But aren't you always an athletic trainer?
You know, in your heart, you're always an athletic trainer.
All right.
I know. But as for me, I did retire because I wasn't seeing enough. I wasn't doing enough coverage. And I was like, I didn't want to get rusty.
Because it's pretty involved in terms of the hours and the things.
Oh, labor intensive.
I don't know anything about it. Yeah. What is it? Like, brief, you don't have to go into detail, but like to stay an athletic trainer.
So you realize I'm old, right? So being old, when I did it to begin with, I did it what was called the internship option, and that hasn't been around for a long time. So I did a bunch of hours under a certified athletic trainer. But then to keep up with that, you had to do other things as well in terms of, you know, things that are just normal that we would do in PT. But
CEUs,
CEUs, that kind of stuff. But again, for me, what I was thinking is, like, I don't want to be that person on a football field or a soccer, you know, a soccer pitch that's not the qualified person to be there. So as I had done it for 20, 25, 30 years, you know, it's like, I'm like, well, I mean, like, I could still do volleyball and all that. So I just decided, but just to say from both sides of the coin, our athletic training colleagues, of which I once was one, they're just amazing people. And they do things that physical therapists maybe aren't prepared well to do. Or they have a better connection with the athletes in terms of right in the training room, right in the field, and that kind of a thing. So I valued being both. And it was funny, I'd kind of switched my hat. Right?
Yeah,
I'm like, okay,
to.
Today I'm a PT, and today I'm an athletic trainer. And
it feels like for me, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm wrong often, it feels more like a spectrum, right? It's like, and you get to change that hat when you move. But maybe like a spectrum, it's not necessarily clear all the time because there's some overlap in a good way.
For sure. And some of my athletic training colleagues do a really great job with rehab. Like, I mean, that's part of their practice, right?
Sure.
They do that. But there are times where they'll call me and they're like, yeah, I'm at the end of my rope. What do you got? You know, what could you do as a physical therapist that might help? And vice versa. I will come out and unequivocally say that the average physical therapist, unless you're sports certified, has no place being on an athletic field.
Wow.
In terms of concussion management, acute fracture management, cardiac stuff, cardiac emergencies, you need to know all those things to be out there and be legit and be a legit provider.
I mean,
so a sports certified specialist has that skill or has those skills because they've taken the emergency response
course
and they've done the hours and they're in the right seat.
You just said a couple of different things. You said like traumatic, you said cardiac events. Those have been in the news.
Oh, very much so.
We've in a very good way been able to see athletic trainers and who's the guy with the fanny pack full of gauze and the glove? Glad that person's
and they're
there.
Saving lives,
and
right?
Look at that.
But your average physical therapist, so I teach physical therapists, and the average physical therapist is not trained to do that really acute concussion management, acute fracture management. You could get some of that in school. But it's a really big skill, and it's really important. So, and then I would go so far as to say, and again, to all my athletic training colleagues, I love you, and I was one of you, I am one of you. There are some things in, like, specific areas of rehab that athletic trainers are less well prepared in. Let's just say the geriatric population, non-sports, right? You know, geriatric, your average geriatric person. Pediatrics, cerebral palsy. I mean, they're just not, that's not part of their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
So PTs have a really good way of looking at that and dealing with that.
Yeah.
So, but together we're better than separate.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And when we understand This is where I come in. Mm-hmm. We understand how to communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
Man, magic happens. It's like, hey, help me understand, or I don't understand, instead of making a statement,
or
ask a question.
This is my turf, yeah. You know.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I gave this talk yesterday to researchers, and mm-hmm. I mean, from the outside, Jimmy has no business being in a room in the Academy of Research Physical Therapy, but I was there with Sheila Schindler-Ivins, mm-hmm. and we presented, and she is a researcher. She's mm-hmm. like, I'm a researcher through mm-hmm. and through. And I said, you're researchers, you're amazing, but no one cares what you're doing until you make them care, until right. you communicate
or those
you
things. Give them a reason to care, right?
Right? So yeah. I used the story. I said, you know, guys, freshman year and sophomore year in college was tough for Jimmy. I mean, I had a lot of first dates.
Oh, me too.
And I'd get there, and I'd tell the girl that I was captain of the high school hockey team, and I was the class president, and I was so smart. And no second dates. Couldn't figure out why. Sophomore or junior, senior year, I get in there, and I'm asking questions about them, and they tell me more.
Tell me about yourself.
A whole lot more. Second, third dates. But what
go.
Happened there?
There you go.
So I showed how you can ask questions, but wouldn't that be an easier way? Because I'm pretty extroverted. So are you.
Yes, I am.
But even like introducing yourself to someone who's something I'm not or I don't understand
absolutely.
Can be intimidating. A question's that bridge. It's such a great lead.
Or, you know, tell me something about your practice or tell me something Oof. About what you've learned over the years or whatever. And I also think that when you mentioned that, like, bridging a gap between somebody that you don't know, my favorite is with students. Like, tell me what your passion is in PT or what do you think it might be? And they're, you know, they kind of want to talk and they want to, like, open up and those sorts of things. But also, back to the PTAT thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't need to tell you what I know and you don't need to tell me what you know. And we don't need to, like, have a match, a boxing match. It's like, what, you know, tell me what you're thinking. Is, you know, what does this look like to you? Tell me what you know about this athlete that I might not know and vice versa. And it's really, really good to collaborate like that.
Help me understand. Mm-hmm. Yep. Help me understand about this. Or where, mm-hmm. when you look at that, what do you see? Or where does your eye go?
You know, in your experience, what does this look like? It's really cool. And you validate the person and you validate their experience and their knowledge rather than saying, well, I think Jimmy's got this and we're going to do this and my, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you just don't do that. You have to really sort of take the seat to listen and to take it in.
Don't assume.
Yep.
How many different things do you do?
Well, if you would ask my husband, he would say way too many. And if I get a spare moment of time, I fill it up. But try not to. So I teach full time. That's my real gig. So I teach entry-level PT students at Grand Valley who are wonderful. So shout out to all those Grand Valley students. They're great students. They're really eager learners and interested in becoming the next gen of PT, which is really important to me. In addition to that, I am the editor-in-chief of the International Journal of Sports Physical Therapy, which is probably a more sexy title than it is.
But why?
Well, it's work. It's just like work.
Oh.
It's like so much work. And it's like, which is okay. I'm not averse to
work. So you
get
to celebrate, like, every, you know, when things go right, you get 10% of the celebration. When things go wrong, you get 90% of the pain.
Right, right. Oh, did this not happen? Ooh, sorry.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I do that, and that is due to a very pathological love of editing for me, and people laugh at that, but it's very true. I mean, I can pick out like an errant period or comma or space on a page from here to that next booth, because it's like kind of the way my brain is wired. It's very kind of logical.
And you're in the right spot.
So I do that. I like that. I treat patients a little bit, but the joy of that is that I treat them in our pro bono clinic.
Ooh.
So I'm a 3-time certified sports specialist, which I just went emeritus on.
Wow.
So I don't treat...
That
I
doesn't
don't,
come... Hold on. Don't skip past that.
Sorry.
That's a big deal.
I was the first woman's SCS in Michigan.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. And so I did it for 30 years. I'm like, okay, you're getting older, Barb. You know, 30 years, you can kind of bail now. And I didn't have as many clinical hours in sports as I really needed to keep that up either. So, but I treat patients, this is the joy part, I treat patients in conjunction with our pro bono clinic at Grand Valley. So these are people who would never see a physical therapist.
Wow.
Many of whom have huge health barriers and health literacy problems, language barriers. We work very, very commonly with interpreters. And it's just the joy to be able to treat these people who really, really want what you have. And they are so compliant. And you tell them to do things, they come back, and they show you that they've done them. Whereas sometimes, again, not to speak ill of others, but my patients and clients who have a lot of money and a lot of insurance, they don't seem to buy in as easily. So these pro bono clinic patients are just really neat people. And the other cool thing is I get to do it with a student by my side. So I'm the licensed PT, and they're treating next to me. They want to know what I do. They want to know how I speak. They want to know how I handle situations. So that's been really cool.
Yeah.
And then I did another dumb thing. No. It's a good thing. But I agreed to edit all the CPGs for the orthopedic section recently.
Ooh.
So it's a volunteer-esque job. Rob Boy Martin and I are doing that together. Again, editing, kind of my wheelhouse. They kind of lied to me with how many hours that was going to take. Mm-hmm. But they said, like, how many hours a week or a month? Oh, you know, not that many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Depends. It's episodic, right? It's like sometimes it's big. But really enjoying that, getting to understand. And all of these CPGs are produced by section members in the, right. in the Orthopedic Academy. And then they go to publication in JOSPT. So, again, that's kind of this kind of knowledge translation, I think, you know,
yes.
trying to help with that,
100%.
You know, trying to get that knowledge translation out
yeah.
there. So.
Cool. Go back to IJSPT. You have a very macro view of the mm-hmm. profession, like editor's mm-hmm. perch, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
You
yep.
get to look and, yep. and see what's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
What are some trends that have been emerging? What are some things that are old and now new again or mm-hmm. have resurfaced or mm-hmm. brand spanking new? This is where
question.
Things are going.
So a couple of things that I would say is we're constantly seeing this changing vernacular, especially our landscape about prevention and wellness and injury preparedness. Like we can't talk scientifically easily about prevention, right? So it's super hard to draw from X to Y and say this prevents that. We
right.
all know that, right? So now the words are changing, and it's injury preparedness or durability or how do we prepare athletes to survive the encounters or the things that they're going to do in their day-to-day sport. So that's been a really cool thing is looking at, for lack of a better term, prevention, which really you know isn't the term anymore. We're seeing a lot with like new slash not new, but you know, trendy things that are really kind of important, I think, about interventions, like how do we look at return to play, return to function, those
yeah.
kinds of things. Interventions like blood flow restriction therapy. I mean, again, we always in PT, we love the sexy new treatments, right? We're gonna needle people, we're gonna put cuffs on them, we're gonna do all stuff. But then the evidence has to kind of follow that.
Sure.
Like, does it work? Who's
yeah.
it for? Who's it not for, right? The other trend that I'm seeing that I think is really cool, we did I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, it was an editorial that was done by like PTJ and us and a whole bunch of journals around the world to try to support and to try to honor and support developing countries that don't have good research infrastructure. So
huh.
we're trying to, again, we're not accepting junk, don't get me wrong. We're accepting good papers, but we're looking for trying to help people that don't have that infrastructure to move things toward publication. So that was a kind of a cool thing that's newish.
People in places without a process.
Right, process.
So give them
yep,
that.
Right, and
access.
And helping them understanding that. And then maybe even in some cases, oh, don't quote me on this, but in some cases trying to make some of the financial barriers go away. So our financial
that's
barriers
an
are very
issue.
Low. It,
it's,
an,
yeah.
it's an access, it, exactly. Let me think, there was something else I was going to say about trends. We've been seeing, and I love to see the residence case problems, and I love to see the people who are new into research. So I'll never forget the first time I submitted something to JOSPT, it went down in flames, and I said, I will never write anything again in my entire life because these people hate me and my research must suck, and it's like, you know, I can't do this. Bottom line is we try to be the journal that's not got a home for everybody, but that has at least a little kindness and gentleness to be able to say, this is what needs to be done to get this ready to go
right.
and those sorts of things. So
teaching
that's
moments.
Yep, yep. Teachable moments, even in research and publication. I mean, it's big. It's really big.
More inclusive than exclusive.
Trying to be.
But also not publishing something
that's
until
junk.
It meets
yep.
the peer review, until it meets rigor.
Exactly, exactly. So that's our that's one of the things we do. I think it's a niche we fill in the market. I also think that it's one of the things that makes our journal unique. We try to be really clinically oriented. So if there comes an article and I'm hearing about it or I'm reading it or whatever, and the reviewers are maybe saying it's decent, but it doesn't have anything to do with clinical practice, my threshold for saying yes goes down because we want to be this journal that has clinical relevance and helps people make decisions. That's an important part of what our journal does.
That's what an editor does. You mm-hmm. get to sometimes it's mm-hmm. hard when you're
yep.
in the weeds. It's
yep.
cool. It's,
yep.
it's a cool place mm-hmm. to be. But you get to sort of steer the ship, which
yep.
is the ship doesn't the wheel doesn't move on a giant ship just at trends. It doesn't
right.
move left and right,
right.
Quickly. And for good reason.
Right, right.
Right?
We want to try to represent science or the science that we get and get it out to the people. And so we actually just went from publishing 6 issues a year to 12. So we're
that's not a small difference.
Yeah, but we're taking the numbers. We did 6 issues with 20 articles
oh, oh,
in
oh.
it, and then we pulled it back to 12 issues of 10. So again, it's the same workload, but it's just like set out differently. The other thing I was going to say, trends. We've got this really cool feature, and it's called ultrasound bites.
Okay.
And basically, you know, like sound bites.
I see what you got.
Got that?
I like it.
Phil Page got that. I think Phil and you know, some other people came up with that one. But anyway, it's a really cool feature where it's like therapists using musculoskeletal ultrasound, and like it's like the pearls and the tips And how would that help? For example, our most recent one is just been about ankle sprains. Like, how do you use MSK ultrasound to help in an ankle sprain diagnosis? They did rotator cuff. They did, I don't know, some hip stuff. But anyways, it's been a monthly or a bi-monthly feature. And it's really taken off. I mean, people are loving it. It's like...
It's got a cute name.
Yeah, it
does.
And
it shows up over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It clearly sort of highlights what you're doing.
Yep.
I tell people all the time, when you give something a name, mm-hmm. we're big dumb animals with brains,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
they are smart and dumb. Mm-hmm. When you give something a name, it feels real. When mm-hmm. it feels real, it gives sort of has gravity or gravitas.
Yep, yep.
And then we pay mm-hmm. attention to it.
Right.
And we might spend a little bit of time.
And it registers somehow.
It does.
I know, it registers somehow.
Right, that's why a logo, like a Patagonia yep. logo or a logo, mm-hmm. Brings back an idea or an emotion
right.
or a benefit. And like, yep. oh, okay, when I see that in my inbox, mm-hmm. I usually get good things.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people all the time, if you don't know why you're emailing someone, don't email them.
Right.
If you can't, from their perspective,
right.
me emailing you because I want you to buy something is very selfish.
Mm-hmm.
Me emailing you because I have an ultrasound bite, mm-hmm. when I see that in my inbox and I've
like,
I've spent time, spent, mm-hmm. it's a transaction,
mm-hmm.
spent time opening it once,
mm-hmm.
and I got, okay, I saw how I got it.
Yep.
The next time I see it, I'm more likely, if I had a good emotional response to
right.
that.
Or if that gave me some value, and then it's
to.
Like, oh, that value, it might come again. It might happen again.
It needs to, mm-hmm. right? Because that's still bandwidth in your inbox. Just
mm-hmm.
because I have your email address doesn't mean you're ever opening anything if I don't provide
right.
value.
So I have to ask you a question. Am
okay.
I allowed to do that?
100%. Yeah, you're the guest.
No, so I was really interested in your trajectory, and I've followed it a little bit, like, you know, like the beginning of this, and then how many followers you have now.
It's wild.
Isn't it crazy?
It's confusing.
The reason I asked that is funny. Is my people have said, you know, why don't you do a podcast?
Why don't you do a podcast?
I just don't have time.
What if I made it really, really easy?
I know,
for
that's
you?
What we got to talk about that later.
Because as we're standing here right now, we've been recording for 16 minutes. What if I said
mm-hmm.
I could teach you a simple process
mm-hmm.
that you could reach thousands of people
mm-hmm.
in 30 minutes a week?
That's something I have to think about.
And
I probably don't need another job. No, I'm just kidding.
But here's the fun part. You could also be the editor, you could be
mm-hmm.
the program director of a podcast, because
mm-hmm.
should a podcast. Always only have
somebody.
One host,
yeah.
host, right?
Yeah.
Look
uh-huh.
at the TV show 60 Minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's broken up into different reporters.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're on the show because you have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're working on a show.
Mm-hmm.
But what would you talk about? What would be, what lights you? Here's how I tell people when they tell me, maybe
mm-hmm.
I'll have a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What are you excited to share or learn or both?
That's a good question. I'd have to wrestle with that a little
fine.
Bit more.
You don't have to have an answer now.
One of the things that comes to me, and again, we can talk later too, but one of the things that comes to me is, what does physical therapy look like now versus what it looked like 40 years ago? And especially sports PT, because I've been in that game for almost 40 years.
So what are the major differences and similarities?
Time, being able to work with athletes for a really long period of time.
We have less now.
Oh,
I'm
gosh,
guessing?
Yes.
Yeah.
None. The visits, constrained visits, those kind of thing. I think some of the openness, like when I started, like I was one of the few women and I didn't have as much chance, but people gave me chances. People, really good people gave me chances to do things, to lead, to influence, whatever. So that's part of it. I think that our insurance companies and stuff. I have to say that. Sorry, I should probably politically incorrect.
Maybe I don't think it's politically incorrect.
But that's part of it. You know, so they're driving the bus sometimes, and that's really unfortunate. So a lot of my peers have gone to cash-based sports practices to be able to serve people, serve them in a good way. And
keep the lights on.
Oh, gosh, yeah, but people are flocking to them. Like, if you're a runner or you're a CrossFitter or whatever, they're coming to people that really want to serve them, and they're doing that in a very high level.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So this fall, what are we going to name the podcast? This fall with Bark, Hogan, Boom.
I don't know.
What would you call it? Answers only. What would you call it? Sonic Boom with Hogan. Boom.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny. They used to call me Boomer all
there
the time.
There it is. That is that's what it is.
You thought it up. Barb's blurbs. Barb's,
but you could all,
I don't know. You could do all kinds of funny things.
So I'll speak from the devil's advocate from your
mm-hmm.
husband's side.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't you say your husband mm-hmm. said you always
Yeah, if
say
I
too
if
much.
I get 5 minutes of time, I fill it up, and I always say too much, yes.
Do it in a series.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
spend a day doing three interviews,
mm-hmm.
right? So three
mm-hmm.
30 minutes or 3 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then that's your next 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And always work 3 weeks ahead. So it's 3 hours
mm-hmm.
Every 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Don't edit it.
Just let it go.
I mean, I went from Uber editing lots of things,
uh-huh.
And uhs.
Do you have to edit out swear words?
No, because it's the internet.
It's true.
Wild,
true.
Right?
True.
I went from editing everything to just going, why don't I just...
Let it rip. I want
it to sound like a real conversation,
yeah.
and I'm changing that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that anymore. And once I did, I was able to produce more, And it was better when I had the mindset of, no, we're just going to go with
it. We're going to go with the flow of the conversation.
And think about where you could spread how many years of information, mm-hmm. even if it was just you talking to a microphone, mm-hmm. or when you get people you knew along the way
sure.
to unlock, hey, here's what we're going to talk about today, to keep it tight.
Come and join
one
me.
One story, yep. mm-hmm. one idea, mm-hmm. One new old idea, one old idea, one story. That's cool. That's the format. Great, go.
That's awesome. Good idea. I watched the New Heights podcast, or listened to.
Which one's that one?
It's Jason and Travis Kelce.
Oh, yeah.
And I laugh my ass off all the time. It is so funny. Brothers, right? Football players. But they talk about pretty much everything. But then they get, you know, so anyways, that and pretty unfiltered. Yeah,
right.
Like very unfiltered.
So,
but yeah.
But do that. So do it alone or find a co-host, because that's yep. fun to play catch back and
sure.
forth. That's what
sure.
they do, play off each other.
Yep.
I don't. Or have a different co-host every week. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of writes itself, Barb.
Yeah, but it doesn't. Yeah, there's only 24 hours in a day, but I can find a few minutes.
You told me you had motivated students.
I do.
We could teach one of them how to finagle your pod. They'll be your executive. Headphones on, and you're in front of the microphone.
There you go.
We're starting about podcasting. How did we get off track?
I don't know.
Something at CSN that excited you this year? Anything come to mind?
Let's see. The diversity of the students. So we at IJSPT, we did with the foundation, we sponsored a student to come to CSM. And great young man. I mean, so interesting. And of the recipients of those awards that the foundation facilitated, I guess, they kind of did they read the interviews and such. There was a lot of diversity and a lot of like youth with like really cool things that they want to do. I'm
really?
Like, this is awesome.
It is cool.
Yeah, I'm getting old, so you guys can do it now. You can take this torch and keep carrying it.
Yeah.
So numbers of people, I mean, the size of this exhibit hall, I mean, it's just been great. The awesome. Programming's been excellent, too. I mean, it's always fun. I haven't been here in like 4 years.
Really?
Yeah, last year, my flight never made it to San Diego. And
not
I was
a
home,
so
not
I a shock.
Couldn't go. So I was like, okay, the year before that, I was at an international congress. The year before that was COVID.
Oh,
so
yeah.
It's like, it's just good to be back.
So
it's
you were
like,
in Denver.
Denver was the last one I went to.
And then the world shut down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Anything I didn't ask? Anything you thought about talking about that I didn't bring up? I just want to make sure I give you an opportunity to walk away and go, oh, I should have said this. Anything else?
Not really.
All right.
Not really.
Well, we end every episode with something we call the parting shot.
Okay.
Are you ready for your parting shot?
Yeah.
What's one thing you'd want to leave with the audience? Mic drop moment, soapbox statement, an idea, quote, just anyway, an idea. What typically educators have these things, and they usually say them on the first day of class. You're going to hear me say this throughout the entire semester, mm-hmm. and my soapbox is this. A lot of times educators have them.
Okay, I have one that's a real barbism, and my students, if they ever listen to this, it'll resonate. So one of the things I tell my students is you have only one shot at your education and to make who you are and who you're becoming really, really who you want it to be, right? So you got to be better than the average bear.
Ooh.
So like Yogi Bear, right? You got to be better than the average bear. And that means to me, knowing the evidence, it means digging and reading and understanding things. It means caring about people and being able to be really thoughtful about how you interact with people. And back to your point, communication, listening.
Be better than the average bear. I mean, that's
on my door, it says better than the average Barb.
Ooh. It writes itself. And that's very good for a t-shirt or a bumper sticker. So you could.
I could do that.